Welcome to Heart of Iowa, a program featuring a patchwork quilt of artists, public speakers, and individuals of note in Central Iowa. I'm Cynthia McClure, and today we are featuring Ames Sesquicentennial. That's the 150th anniversary of Ames. In order to bring this story to life, I went to people and places who are either directly involved with the process of making this event great, and also a few individuals who would be affected by it. I learned that even though Ames is a city that has grown out of its original 12 square blocks, it still has the heart and soul of a small town, if you know where to look. I hope you enjoy this original programming here on the Heart of Iowa on KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm at the Ames Historical Society with Hannah Fredericks, and she is the communications director here. She's going to talk about the Ames Sesquicentennial.
One of the main events that the Ames Historical Society is putting on this year for the Sesquicentennial of Ames is our large exhibit that's going to be held at the Octagon Center for the Arts starting in August, and it'll run through the end of October. And that's entitled Defining Ames, 150 Historic People, Places, and Events. And for that, we've kind of picked 150 different people or events or places and organizations that we felt really defined Ames throughout the history and really made an impact on the community.
Can you describe a few of these to the listening audience?
Yeah, actually one of our most exciting artifacts, at least how we feel, is a large portrait of John Blair, who is the founder of our town, who platted out the original 12 blocks of Ames, and he's going to be the main focus in the first category of founding our town, which actually right now John Blair is getting refinished. You can call us directly or email us at info@ameshistory.org.
What's the number?
515-232-2148.
What were the original 12 square blocks of Ames? It was Main Street. Did it go to this side of 13th Street?
Nope, it actually went up to about 8th Street. I think it went a little bit past 8th Street, not all the way up to 9th. Actually, up until 1910, 13th Street was called North Street because that was the northmost boundary of town. So it wasn't even until after that point that they named it 13th Street, and then development started there. But that remained farmland until the 30s into the 40s.
So after World War II, when people came back and they were building homes en masse and huge development happened, that's when Ames expanded.
Yep, into the 40s and the 50s, and that's when really like past 16th Street really started to get developed. And then even like up northwestern, the area northwest of northwestern 9th, that's when that started to get developed too.
Do you think there's a resurgence of creating Ames into very historically minded community, preserving buildings and keeping its identity?
Yeah, actually, you know, working at the Ames Historical Society, I obviously have a love for history, and I hadn't really realized that the community really does too until this sesquicentennial event. And there have been so many clubs and organizations and people that have come in and want to be like, I want to do something for this, or I'm planning this for the organization that I'm representing. And just a lot of people have come out really interested in Ames history, really community-driven, that really want to get involved in this.
So how far are some people going? Are they going so far as to dress up in the garb of the founding fathers and have horse-drawn carriages, or how far are people taking it?
Well, the community events are still in development stage, a lot of them. But I know for the 4th of July parade, they are kind of breaking it up into decades. And so parade entries can decide which decade they want to be in. And I'm on actually the parade committee as well. And we're kind of encouraging people, yeah, to dress up in period piece and kind of have a lot of fun with this specific parade.
So people can start dressing up in post-Civil War garb.
Yeah, yep. Or just garb throughout the eras. We're looking for just every decade people to represent it and have a lot of fun with it.
Time to go in those attics and pull out the great grandma's clothes and grandpa's clothes or the memorabilia that you've collected and put it to good use.
Exactly. This is the perfect year to do some of that cleaning that you've been meaning to do and get some of those cool artifacts out.
So what would you suggest? What eras are you in need of if you're discussing this for the 4th of July parade?
Oh, well, as of right now, we're not really needing anything specific. You can kind of choose whatever you want at this point. We're looking for people to represent all different decades and all different eras. If your club or your organization or whatever you're representing has a specific one in which maybe you were founded in the 1920s or the 1930s, then we can come up and kind of help you maybe with some specific things that happened during that time that maybe you want to kind of have some fun with, or specific period pieces too.
How far do you think the city's going to go to make this really represent the founding fathers?
I'm not specifically on any of the city committees. I'm on the Main Street Cultural District Parade Committee. But I do know just from the people that I know that the city has gotten together and they have a lot of great events planned and a lot of great people working very hard on all the events.
What do you think is going to be the most surprising?
I'm really excited about the parade, to be honest. I think the parade's going to be a lot of fun this year, and I want people to have a lot of fun with it, and I have people to dress up and get really excited about the Ames history.
So 4th of July, Main Street, Ames, place to be.
Definitely. And it's going to be a two-day event this year, so it's going to expand longer than the normal 4th of July had in the past.
So will it start on the 4th of July and go to the 5th?
Yep, I believe so. And there's going to be music and entertainment and different vendors and a Chautauqua tent, so lots of fun events going on.
What does a Chautauqua tent mean?
Well, back in the late 1800s up into 1927 here in Ames, there was a thing called the Chautauqua Festival in which different religious speakers and lecturers would come to Ames for an entire week, and they'd set up a main stage tent with other little small tents on the side, and families would go and set up a tent for an entire week and go listen to these speakers.
This is showing Ames multiculturalism in religious matters then?
Religious and, at the time, very educational topics as well. It was a place for learning and development.
So you think Ames has always been this multicultural and far afield kind of place where people come together?
Definitely. I think it shows throughout history that Ames has definitely been a place that represents everybody.
Thank you. Do you have anything else you want to share with the listening audience?
I think this year is a great year to get involved in your community and a great year to get involved in all the fun events that are going on. And you can get involved either here at the Historical Society, or I know the Main Street Cultural District is looking for volunteers to get involved, as well as the city will be looking for volunteers to get involved too, as the different events get planned.
There's a little more business here in Ames than there.
She was drawing on the dummy.
All else fails, I'll take up farming.
What do you mean?
Oh. This is Cynthia McClure. I'm at the Grove Cafe with the owner and proprietor. He's basically the chief bottle washer and cook, all around busy guy. And your name, sir?
Larry Goodell.
And you've been here how long, Larry?
Since 97.
But the Grove Cafe is like one of the Main Street staples. It's always been a restaurant or a place for people to eat.
Yes, ma'am. It's been here with the same name since 1948, and it was a restaurant before that even. Shorty's and Star Cafe and Shorty's in that order backwards.
So when was this? So it's always been that. So when was this building built then?
The building burnt down shortly after the turn of the century, and was rebuilt somewhere in the teens, 1914, 15, 16.
So pre-Depression,
yeah.
And then it harbored through the Depression, kind of limping along, and then after World War II, when the soldiers got back, that's when it became the Grove Cafe.
Yep, that's when the name The Grove started in 1948.
You seem to know a lot because all your customers know this area. And you were talking about different things here on Main Street, because this year is the sesquicentennial, which is the 150th anniversary of Ames being founded after the Civil War. And you were pointing out some of the businesses. Can you describe them to our listeners who may not know these things?
Well, if there's anyone older than me out there, they'll know them for sure. But there was a furniture store, a movie theater. The first George's Pizza was right across the street. That hasn't been all that long ago. Down the street, the JCPenney's. I think there was a Yonkers down there. The shoe store that just went out, that had been there quite a while. So that's
was that Brown's?
Yep. Yeah, those are the main ones. And I know there was a gas station back over on the corner behind Main Street that a lot of people don't remember. I just had an older lady in here that said her dad operated that, and I learned that little bit of information.
So these businesses, it seems like a lot of them changed after World War II and then through the 70s, and then there was kind of like a Main Street Depression after that.
Well, I think the mall scene kind of hurt the Main Streets because, you know, the Pennies, the Yonkers went to the mall, and then that just drew a lot of the business away from Main Street out to the mall. I think here in Ames we do a pretty good job of bringing a lot of it back downtown, that there's still a lot of business there.
Oh, definitely. Ames Main Street is basically, it looks like a revitalization effort that is very successful.
It does all right, and I'm proud to be up here.
And you are, you're just, you know so many people, and you know a lot, and you're very much involved with people's lives here.
Yeah, when they're in every day of the week, you get to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly about what goes on and things like that. They get to hear my good, bad, and ugly, too, though. And I make them laugh.
You have a really, nice attitude about it all. So, you know, do you know what's going on for the sesquicentennial?
I do not. I have not. I just knew it was this year. I have not heard any of the events planned or anything like that. So someone needs to get going on that so we can see what's going to happen in town.
Well, I heard that the Ames Historical District is going to support the parade that's going on, and they're trying to support the idea of recognizing every era. So people dressing up in period costumes after the Civil War, you know, the corsets and the clothing all the way through, down through the 70s, you know, it's basically touching every era so that Ames can be represented. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's kind of confusing. Are they going to do this all in one day and have it in the parade, or I didn't follow that real
well? Well, sorry, I didn't explain it very well. Well, they're kind of encouraging for every decade, you know, like 1850, there's a certain look, and then 1860, 1870, turn of the century, 1920s, you got the flappers, you're not wearing corsets anymore, it's definitely a lot more liberating for women dress-wise. And then it goes on down through the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. And it was described as cosplay, for people that know that, but just dressing up and recreating those events that Ames has lived through.
So where are they going to do this at, though?
This is during the 4th of July parade, and so during that 4th of July parade, they want to have people dress up in these different period costumes.
Are they looking for volunteers? Are we supposed to talk about that so they can get volunteers to do this?
Well, I figured that I can just talk about it to share that with you and see what your view about it is, because some of these people that show up here probably have some of those old costumes.
They probably are back in style by now if we look around.
You know, you got the farmer's overalls from the 40s. I mean,
yeah, there's those that still wear the bib overalls in. Yep, we have them.
So anyway, it's just a talking point. But there was also some other different things about the Main Street being turned into a pedestrian walkway and actually putting dirt on the ground to grow things.
For this year?
Yeah, that's kind of the rumor.
Well, I hope not. That might hurt business. We wouldn't want to do that, would we?
I don't know. What do you think about it?
No, I don't think I like that idea. Dirt out on Main Street. I don't know that that'll help anybody. The traffic, the drive-by traffic that people have, the businesses.
Well, they would close it down.
No drive-by traffic at all. The businessman in me's coming out.
Uh-oh. There's a little bit of fire in the eyes for that one. He's not supporting this idea, because in Denver they have there's like a Main Street area there that is a pedestrian walkway. It's very people-oriented.
We have a sidewalk. It's people-oriented, too.
So you're not supporting that idea?
No, I'm not going to go along with that. Not to mention, if I'm open, the dirt that's going to come in, because people are walking on dirt, or heaven forbid it rains in this. I don't like that idea. I'll say it again.
Well, do you like the idea of all the different events that they're planning for the sesquicentennial? Because they are trying to make it commemorative of the whole 150 years that Ames has been around.
Sure. I like the ideas. It's fun. Some of it makes life a hassle for other people. I'll just say, I know my older customers, all the traffic, block roads, they'll stay home. They won't come and eat their morning breakfast at the Grove because they won't want to fight the traffic. But you give and take. So we'll lose them and maybe gain a couple others somewhere else.
Well, that's an optimistic idea. So you'll just hear different stories then.
We will, and people ask different questions, just like you are, about Main Street and what I know or what they've heard or their grandparents said, things like that.
So what are some of the better stories about Main Street that you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Oh, boy, I think I needed a little time to stop and think. That's not just something that pops off the top of your head real quick to you know, there's been the trees on Main Street when I first came.
Oh, the ginkgo trees, the stinky ginkgo.
At the birds that deposited the dirt on the ground and getting rid of them and, you know, planting the trees and then cutting them all down to get rid of them. I think that's kind of a humorous one that Main Street had the trees and advertised them and then got rid of them.
Well, the fruit that they had also stunk. It was not pleasant.
I see. I don't even remember any fruit because was there something that they were all male ginkgo trees and didn't produce? So there shouldn't have been any fruit out here.
Yeah, there was fruit or something on the ground. These circular seeds or something, I remember.
Maybe so. I don't remember that because the tree disappeared shortly after I bought the place. It wasn't here months and it was gone.
So you didn't have to worry about that?
Didn't have to deal with that.
So since you've been here from the 90s, I mean, what are some of the more humorous things that you've experienced personally?
Boy, I don't know. Maybe me buying this place was one of them.
Because you say you work 7 days a week. I mean, you're here for breakfast and lunch every day with the customers.
Except Saturday and Sunday, no lunch. But, you know, a lot of them are just humorous with the stories the customers bring in. Not so much that I would know on the Main Street going up and down, but the customers and their lives and the things we do, the things their wives do, their kids do.
Just funny. So it's almost like a big family here.
It definitely is in the morning when you get the same 10 or 12 people in here. And some of them, I'm being polite, saying people. Right, Dean?
Hey, cousin, can I get a discount? That's right.
So what do you think when the politicians show up and they try to buddy-buddy, you know, during the caucuses?
I'm not fond of that. You know what? I have had good experiences with some of them. I can remember one morning one came in and the waitress had a sick kid and I was short a waitress and he hopped in and helped me for about 2 hours. And then I can remember some that came here and didn't even walk in, stayed outside and brought their relatives in to sit at the counter so they could interview a relative and say how wonderful the politician was.
It's just basically a big face.
Yes, yeah. But there was a couple that I thought were real people. You know, how many of them are going to actually... He cleared tables, poured coffee for 2 hours.
So you're not going to name them, but that's okay.
I'm not going to name them.
Bless your heart. That's a good thing. But you just seem very relaxed about it all. You know, you could just let it roll over you because you just... It's almost like you're building these entertaining stories.
Well, you don't have to build them. They build themselves, and just a lot of people come in here to ask. Channel 8's been here numerous times. We get a lot of publicity. People come in just for certain things, and for the Grove, the pancakes. People hear about the pancakes and talk about them. So.
Well, you guys fed me one, and it was pretty good. It tasted very fresh, and it didn't have that metallic made-from-the-box flavor.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That's what we're known for.
Yep. But, yeah, this is a very relaxed place, and it's harkens back to a earlier time when people just were people and they didn't have to be all just posing.
That's kind of how we are. There's no neon sign out front to get us into, the modern century. There's just a sign out there, and we're old inside. I don't know. It's different, but I like it. I like it. You get to talk to the customers as you work. There is a lot of BS, and they will call you on it. That's what I'd say.
But I'll let you get back to your lunch, and thank you, sir. And your name and where you're located.
Larry Goodale, The Grove Cafe, 124 Main Street. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, this is Community Radio for Central Iowa, KHOI FM, 89.1 on your radio dial and located in Story City and Ames.
By wolves, and we are still wild, and we howl when the troubled wind blows. And in the TV's blue light, assassins will lie, every whale just a going down slow. So don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And all the people you meet down in the streets may be good, but they don't wanna know. So they cover their eyes for who wants to be sad. Life is sweet at the bottom of the sea. And don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And the mothers will cry, fathers stay up all night with a worry that goes to the bones. And if your God makes war, then he's no God I know, 'cause Christ would not send boys to die. And don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart. And don't you get low as hell when a peace dove is felt by a man with the blackest of minds. And above the din, let the sighing begin, as we're bound for the longest of days. So don't tread on me, for I am your brother. I was born with an American heart. And don't tread on her, for she is your sister. She was born with an American heart.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm with Lauren Franson from the Ames Chamber of Commerce, and she's going to talk about the sesquicentennial and some of the events that the Ames Chamber of Commerce is going to be having.
We do have a lot going on this year to celebrate our 150th anniversary of the platting of Ames. We kind of kicked it off in January, actually, with the Ames Chamber of Commerce annual dinner. We had a theme this year that was kind of celebrating our history, and it was open to the public for the first time ever. So that was really great to have a lot of people there and kind of really kick off the idea of, you know, this is going to be a year of celebrating our history and showcasing the progress that we've made in Ames. Then, you know, the next big event will probably be July 4th, that weekend. We're going to have a whole festival this year instead of just the parade that we've had in the past and a pancake dinner. But this year it's going to be July 3rd through the 5th. On the 3rd, we're looks like going to have, you know, some musical events and a municipal band concert. We'll still have the parade on the 4th, but we're also going to have birthday cake this year to celebrate the birthday a little early. And then pancake breakfast again. Main Street, Douglas, and 5th will all be open, and the festival will be going on. We're just looking for a really lively time downtown to kind of celebrate both the 4th of July and the sesquicentennial. Another thing that we have going on this year to celebrate the sesquicentennial is happening in September. September 26th will be Dinky Days in Campus Town, and that's kind of going to involve, you know, we wanted something that also involved the university. They have Visha and kind of do their own thing, and I think last year celebrated their 150th.
And is the reason this is in September is to make sure the students can participate?
Yeah, we definitely want to have something that will get them involved and that, you know, we're kind of taking it to Campus Town so that they can be there, and we want to do Iowa State. It's the whole community, so.
So what are the days and events that are going to be happening in September for the Ames Sesquicentennial, which is the 150th anniversary of it being founded?
Well, for Dinky Days in Campus Town, we're planning on having live entertainment again. There'll be food vendors, family activities, and then we also want to bring in the history with some historical displays that emphasize the tie between Ames and Iowa State. It'll be kind of a great family weekend, and you know, we want students and staff at Iowa State and then the community to all hang out in Campus Town and celebrate our history and also have fun at the same time.
Well, I know that the Historical Society mentioned that they're trying to get people to dress up in period costumes to commemorate every era that Ames has been around. This is a post-Civil War time frame that we're looking at, so people are going to be pulling out and wearing costumes with corsets and maybe even Civil War costumes or whatever. If you're a nerd, you know cosplay, so it's a time to dress up in your costumes, but they're commemorating it from every era that Ames has, so the 150 years, so every decade in that. So you have those old post-World War II clothes to the Roaring Twenties, you can put those on too.
Yeah, definitely. The 4th of July parade this year is going to, like you said, celebrate the different decades, so people can pick a decade, and then when they enter in the parade, you know, it'll kind of be a showcase of history that just goes past you, and yeah, it'll be awesome to have people dressed up in their period pieces, and I think it'll be a really neat display of the history of Ames, and you'll get to watch it just go right by.
Well, I heard that they're going to be doing a lot of events and stuff on Main Street, but one of the things that I heard is that they're going to be decorating Main Street with dirt and turning it into kind of like a pedestrian walkway.
That would be a good throwback to what it was in the start of Ames, I guess. I haven't heard the plan for sure, but I know they have a lot planned going on, so that could definitely be part of it.
So you haven't heard anything from that?
Nope, I haven't heard that one.
So you don't know if they're going to put a couple layers of dirt to commemorate the way that it looked like in the black and white photos?
No, I couldn't confirm that one for sure. I haven't heard about that one.
Well, what about turning it into a pedestrian walkway like they have in Denver, where you take the old town and you make it people-friendly?
Yeah, I think that's especially during these big events. You know, we'll be shutting down Main Street and the streets on the side, Douglas and Fifth, to make it just, you know, very pedestrian-friendly. There won't be cars going at that time, and it'll be definitely focused on, you know, getting people downtown and just walking around. And so I don't know if there'll be dirt down, but it'll definitely be more just walking.
So if people dress up in period costumes, is there going to be a judging or a competition of the different costumes?
I don't know. That would be a really fun thing to do with it, because I imagine we'll have a lot of people that will have pretty fun costumes. I think that could definitely be a part of the parade and 4th of July. I don't know if it's in the works yet, but I'll bring that one up. A little friendly competition's always good. It gets people enthusiastic about it. I guess I just want to emphasize that it's something that we want the whole community to be involved in. We've tried to think, you know, what of all the different generations that are in Ames, what are their interests and what would they want to come out and get excited about? And they've tried to plan events that will encompass all of the generations here in Ames, and they're also working on a couple legacy projects to really commemorate the year and then, you know, provide something that in the next 150 years they can look back on and say, this is what they did in 2014. They have some tree plantings. They're going to plant 150 trees around the community, and then there's also a mobile history trailer that'll be traveling around and, you know, going to schools or the library and letting people really kind of enter the past when they go in there and see, you know, pictures of Ames and learn about Ames. And we're excited, you know, at a milestone like this to look back on how far we've come and then really celebrate all that we have right now that makes Ames so great.
If people want to get involved, where should they go?
We've got a website up and going. It's www.ames150.com. You can contact people there. We have three committees going right now, events, Science, Communications, and then one for the Legacy Projects. And, you know, we're always looking for people that are passionate about those and want to get involved, so we'd love to have more people join them. The website also lists all the events, so if people just want to come to the events and attend, that provides a really good calendar of when they are. And
are there going to be any events prior to July 4th that people can get involved with?
The planting of the trees will probably happen, you know, depending on the weather. It'll be in April or May, and that's something that people can come out to. I'd imagine they'll want people to help plant some trees. So
it'll be like an Arbor Day celebration.
Yeah, it'll be like that, and, you know, it'll be different places all around the community, so it will be something that lots of people hopefully can be involved in. 4th of July is going to be really awesome. I think it's gotten gradually better every year, but this year is definitely going to be a much bigger celebration. We're hoping to attract people from out of town too and just have a great big celebration that also celebrates Ames on our main street. The actual platting day of Ames is December 17th, and because of weather and Iowa, what Iowa usually does for weather at December 17th, you know, we're kind of planning. The 4th of July is the big celebration when we do birthday cake, but I think we'll do something. It may be inside on December 17th to actually celebrate the day. I guess if we looked at the history of Ames over the past 150 years, it would probably say that December 17th is usually not the most pleasant day to be outside. We know December is a busy time anyway, so I think the 4th of July will be a great celebration and a great birthday party for Ames. For my 25 years of being alive, I've been in Ames. My parents actually live in Roland, just a little north of Ames, but I was open enrolled into Ames and went to Ames Middle School, Ames High School, and stayed in Ames to go to Iowa State, and now I'm proudly working in Ames to promote the Ames community, so.
Do you have any stories about Main Street growing up here in Ames that you remember?
I remember when we had all the ginkgo trees on Main Street, and they had the ginkgo festival. I think my grandparents would always bring us down, my younger sister and I, to go and do all the stuff on Main Street. And so I guess that's my one big memory. Also, the pumpkin patch is a little shop on Main Street that has, at least when I used to go there, they had this table right in front that had marbles all over it. And
no, they still have that.
Okay. Yeah, that was my sister and I would always want to go in there, and my mom would, you know, allot us each like $2. So we'd go through and look at all the marbles and pick out our favorite ones and make sure that it was under $2. But we loved going in there.
So you have great memories of walking around Main Street. So it's actually changed a lot. There's a lot of new businesses. And what would you want to say and tell the people in Central Iowa about Ames Main Street?
It is an incredibly vibrant part of Ames. Yeah, we've got restaurants and shops. And, you know, you could spend a whole day and walk Main Street. That's the great part about it, is parking's fairly easy. And you can just walk around and go to a coffee shop, get dinner, look in shops that, you know, have great merchandise and local goods and friendly people that want to talk to you. So it's a really great, vibrant part of Ames. I'm excited for this year, and we've got a lot going on, so hope people come check out our events and, you know, want to get involved. My name is Lauren Franson, and I'm the Director of Communications and Marketing at the Ames Chamber of Commerce. The website you can go to check out events and get more information on them is ames150.com. That's AMES150.com.
So this is London Underground, and you are a bartender here, and your name?
Mara Spooner.
You have a great tattoo, Mara. What is it about?
It is some of my favorite flowers that have always grown at my mom's house and by a local artist down the street here.
Nice. So what do you think about the sesquicentennial, which is the 150th anniversary?
I think it's pretty cool that Ames is 150 years old. I don't really know a lot about, like, what things are being planned as a celebration or anything going on in town. But, yeah, it's a pretty neat thing that Ames has been around that long. You know, 150 years is a while.
Well, I know that, yeah, I know that on the 4th of July they are planning to have people dress up in period costume from post-Civil War all the way through, I mean, like, the 1970s. So if you have some cool vintage clothing, either corsets or, you know, polyester pantsuits, all the way through. I mean, you can dress up and go in the parade.
Right on. That's exciting. Do you know how many folks are, like, do you have any folk, like a number of folks who are planning to be involved in that? Or they're like local, like, you know, there's a shop down the street, there's Ridiculous Rags, and there's Shell
well,
and Spring Store.
Let's just say if London Underground had a little float and people dressed up in different costumes, you know, that would be, yeah, you could contribute, have your little thing. But I think you have to talk to the parade committee about that. But, yeah. But one of the other things that I heard that they were thinking of turning Main Street into a pedestrian mall and turning and okay. taking the street down to, like, making it dirt again.
Really? So so how would that work logistically? Like, would they cart dirt in or get rid of the concrete? I think, I guess, cart dirt in would be the best. It seems... No, that's. I think that's an interesting idea. There are some neat. We used to have some neat photos in the back here. I don't know if they are still anymore of different parts of Main Street from, you know, 100 years ago. Those are really neat. I'm not sure if we still have those.
Well, I think that's kind of why they were thinking about doing it. But that's what I heard. So, what do you think about that?
I guess I think it could be a really cool thing to see. I'm interested to see how it's done logistically.
Yeah. The logic and rational. Well, we got a customer here that's laughing. He's not going for it. What do you guys think of that?
The dirt idea?
Yeah.
I think it'd be really, really interesting. But yeah, again, logistically, knowing how that was going to work would be helpful, I'm sure, to local businesses and community members.
Well, I mean, it's definitely going green and taking the carbon footprint in a different direction.
It's true. So would this just be for, like, a day that it would be happening? Or... Okay. Because, I mean, dirt gets picked up, too, so I would be maybe frustrated.
Are they gonna bring, like, horses and buggies as well?
Well... You know, I think for the parade they could definitely do that. There's always horses in the parades. Yeah. So the logic of these patrons who just look like grassroots kind of people, they're just like looking at it with, you know, disbelief.
I think it probably is the first time most folks in this room have heard of what's going on. So to have a reaction of something they've never heard of before is kind of hard to talk about, right? Like, I didn't know there would be an event. I don't. Once I learn more, I can kind of know.
Fourth of July is going to be a big part of it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So would you guys think about dressing up? And if you did, what era would you dress up in?
Oh, man, I can't even begin to think about that. There's a pretty wide spectrum, so I'd really have to put some thought to it first.
It'd have to be the clothes, and if they fit well, too. You know, you want to look good.
There might be a chance that I try to encourage a friend of mine to help me make a costume if I decide on a certain era I want to actually represent. Yeah, I mean, I think it could allow people to sort of get creative, and it's a fun way maybe to help them learn a little bit more historically about their community, if they're interested. So it's kind of a way to live that out.
Well, I think it's just trying to get people involved and get them excited about it. Okay. You guys have anything else you want to share with the people of Central Iowa about, you know, Ames and how much you like it down here? Main Street, because you're here in London Underground, you're relaxed, it's a nice environment.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ames as a community. It's been a great place to live. And really, I think that in the future, it'll, you know, with all of the support of a lot of folks, it'll be a really amazing, like,
Sesquicentennial.
Exactly.
Exactly. Let's spell that. Sesquicentennial. Anyway, thank you.
The
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm with Assistant City Manager Melissa Munt, and we're talking about the sesquicentennial, and I just want to get what the city's take is on this 150th anniversary of the founding of Ames, Iowa.
Well, we're actually really excited about it. The city has committed some funds to the event, and we're using those to bring a main stage live the whole weekend of the July 4th and 5th, so it's the Friday and Saturday, and I think you're going to see some really exciting things going on downtown that weekend. Additionally, the city always has its annual pancake breakfast on the 4th in the morning. We are actually adding live music to it this year just to have a more celebratory event for the pancake feed.
Now, I understand because I talked to a young lady at the Historical Society here in Ames, and she mentioned that during the parade, they're going to encourage people to dress up in period costumes, representing every era for how long the city has been in. And I think it's just something that they've come up with, but it's, you know, what do you think of that? And personally, what era would you dress up in? Probably the post-Civil War costumes all the way down to the 70s pantsuit. I mean, what would you prefer?
Well, I have heard about that, and actually we're working closely with the Main Street Cultural District on the events, and we know that they're doing that with the parade. It's going to be kind of by decades, as you mentioned, and I'm thinking I'd probably go with the 80s. I was a young girl in the 80s and really loved the clothes then, but wasn't able to maybe wear some of the makeup and other things with and do the hair the way that they did then, that maybe just be a little more fun today.
So you're going to go big hair and bright pastels and
possibly some really bad sweaters. So, yeah, I think that would be a good time.
But the city's really putting a lot of effort into this. I mean, are you excited, and is it a big deal?
Absolutely, it's a big deal. We started out the year with a proclamation from the mayor and the council giving that to the Ames 150 Steering Committee and recognizing that it is a historical year for the city. We have people from every department across the city that are going to be engaged at some point in the festivities. Currently in our office, the city manager's office, myself, and our public information officer are working on it. But we have an events committee that works with every event that occurs in the community and make sure it's safe and that every little detail is thought of. And so that group's already met with our 150 on the 4th group. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of us working on it. I know our Parks and Recreation Department is interested in helping out with some games and things downtown on the 4th. So should be a really awesome event for all of us here at the city, too.
Well, I heard some rumors, too, that they're planning to turn the Main Street into a pedestrian walkway, and they're going to put dirt on the ground and stuff. And I just want to clarify this with you. And these are rumors that I heard. So can you tell me more about that?
It does sound like a rumor. I haven't heard of that one. And since I'm working with the events committee, if they were doing that for just the 4th and 5th of July, I know that that's not anything we're looking at. But we are looking at games for youth and fun activities like a climbing wall and just different things like that and live music and maybe some big wheel races. But nothing with dirt. Seems kind of messy.
But they're going to close off the street and make it for a pedestrian mall. They're going to leave it people-friendly, no cars coming through.
Absolutely. We'll be closing off for just that weekend to make that clear that we're not turning it into a pedestrian zone for permanently. But just for the 4th and the 5th, we'll be closing from basically Kellogg over towards Vision Bank, I believe, that's on the east end of Main Street there.
That's usually where they have the farmers market on Main Street in Ames.
Yes. And farmers market, we are currently working with them. We're going to try to work together this Saturday, which is the 5th, and make sure that whatever we're doing, we're joint with them. So it should be a nice kind of add-on to what the festivities at the farmers market are. And we're hoping that they can help us with some ideas, too.
So this will be an extra big event. Instead of just having a regular farmers market, it'll extend to all the what the city is doing and these events for kids and families and the pancake breakfast with the live music. And then this is going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. It's actually starts on the 3rd, which I would love to let people know about. You know, 4th of July fireworks aren't on the 4th here this year. They're actually on the 3rd. And they're going to be in the traditional location that Ames has always hosted them out by the football stadium. But we're starting out at Ryman Garden, and we have a great partnership with them through the 150 Steering Committee. Dan Foss has paid it to be open for free starting at 5 or 5:30 on the 3rd, which is great. So everybody come out, and the municipal band will actually be out there playing that night.
So this is going to be fireworks on the 3rd. Is the parade also going to be on the 3rd of July? No, it's going to be on the 4th.
4th, yep.
This is an extended party. This
a
few days.
Yeah, I think it's something that we haven't seen here in Ames. A lot of our events are a day. And this one's going to kind of carry on for almost two full days if you look at starting in the evening on the 3rd and ending on the evening on the 5th. Family and kid friendly, and it is open to the public. It's wide open to the public. And I think that's the best part of it. The folks with the Ames Foundation have been working really hard to raise money for this event and making sure that everyone that lives in Ames and neighbors around Ames and central Iowa can come to the event. It is open to the public and everyone is invited. Well, I would like to say that we have some great musical lineups we're going to be announcing here sometime in April, so please watch for that. We've been working with Maximum Ames, which is a local musical group that I'm sure you're aware of, and they just have some great resources. And we're also working with a few of our other local groups like the Ames Tribune and also with Now 105.1 and KASI to hopefully beef things up a little bit more as far as the music and entertainment is concerned. So it's going to be fun, and I think getting everybody in the community out just to enjoy the fact that our town has done so many great things in 150 years and had so many great people live here that have done so much for not only Ames, the state, but also for the world.
Do you have a resource that people could access to find out more information on upcoming events and music?
Yes, absolutely. Ames150.com is the official sesquicentennial website, and you can go there and see upcoming events and groups that are partnering with us to help make this a more festivus year, if we can use that term, and enjoy a whole variety of things that are being done just a little bit above and beyond what they normally are this year. So Ames150.com.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm going to get some feedback from the KHOI staff about, you know, what they think of the sesquicentennial and also what KHOI is doing for the sesquicentennial. Okay, we're going to turn the radio. Actually, leave it on. It's good background.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, this is KHOI. We're all good here. So I got Rick Morrison, who is a fabulous person, and I got Dupine. He's kind of like Cher. He doesn't need another name. You know, he's a single name kind of guy. And they both have radio shows here, and I'm going to ask them what they're doing and what's up for the sesquicentennial here at KHOI.
Cynthia, thank you. Glad to be here. You know, I can go by Dupine because there's only one of me around, which is convenient. Now, I'll let Cynthia elaborate on the programming that KHOI might be doing regarding this sesquicentennial event. But interesting thing that I heard is they're going to lay dirt down Main Street and turn it into a ped mall to really get commemorative with the whole Main Street of Old Ames.
So you heard that they're going to turn it into a pedestrian mall and make it for, like, what, the farmer's market kind of thing, bring that back?
Yeah, farmer's market with a capital F.
Okay, so they're going green, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. Roots.
So, well, what do you think about that? I mean, that's kind of like, I don't know, that's old school.
It's interesting. You know, I hope it doesn't rain. I do only wear white shoes, so that would not be the best. But I would recommend, you know, all-terrain footwear.
So if they close it off to traffic, you know, that means just people will have to be a little more active getting up and down Main Street as opposed to parking their cars. What do you think of that?
Well, horse traffic is welcome. You know, bike traffic will work as always. But yes, it will be closed to automobiles.
That's what you heard? Where'd you hear it from?
You know, I have my sources all reliable.
Rick, so what do you think about the sesquicentennial?
Well, I think it's, hearing from what DePiant said here, I think it's a really good, innovative idea just, you know, to kind of show other towns what, you know, what this truly being green is, taking this idea, just putting it all out. I mean, I think we're very progressive in that way.
So Ames is pretty progressive and they're going green, and you think it's a good thing because global warming and carbon footprints and all that?
It's literal and figurative.
Do you think they're going to maybe close it all off to traffic and then not let anybody in?
Closed off to automobile traffic, but it is more than welcome. You know, it's very open for the public. Absolutely.
So what do you have to say to the listening audience?
I'd say happy sesquicentennial, y'all.
If you've just tuned in to this original programming from the heart of Iowa, this is a program featuring a patchwork quilt of artists, public speakers, and individuals of note in central Iowa. Today, we featured stories about Ames Sesquicentennial, which is the 150th anniversary of Ames. I would like to thank my guests, the Ames Historical Society, Hannah Fredericks,
Larry Goodell, The Grove Cafe, 124 Main Street,
Lauren Franson,
from the Ames Chamber of Commerce.
London Underground, bartender.
Mara Spooner.
Assistant City Manager, Melissa Munt. You know, this is KHY. We're all good here. So I got Rick Morrison, who is a fabulous person, and I got Dupayan. He's kind of like Cher. He doesn't need another name. I would like to thank my guests and everybody listening and remind them that today is April 1st, otherwise known as April Fool's Day.
Happy April Fools!
I hope you've enjoyed this original programming here on KHOI. If you would like more information about this or other programs, visit our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, friend us on Facebook. Heart of Iowa is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.